Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for inviting me to this 75th anniversary celebration. I know the official ceremony was or celebration was a few weeks ago, and I'm sorry I couldn't be there, but I'm very excited to be here today to celebrate 75 years of Grace and to think about all the wonderful memories I have of this place and of all of you. And one of the things I was just remembering is that this is where I was ordained. And so as I celebrated my retirement a few months ago, and so it's kind of fun to come back to the place where my ordained ministry began, of all love and life. Well, Michelle, who you see in this picture with me, I guess it's back here, Michelle was one of my favorite people at my church in Vancouver. Now, I know that pastors aren't supposed to have favorite people, right? And I'm sure when I was here, I didn't have any favorites. In fact, all of you were my favorites, right? But I bring up Michelle because as I've reflected on today's Bible lessons, especially John 9 and the 23rd Psalm, she keeps coming to mind. And I have to let you know that she's given me permission to share a little bit of her story. Michelle is currently a sophomore at Pacific Lutheran University up in Tacoma. And recently she wrote a blog post that reminded me of the situation in Psalm 23, where the person voicing that psalm finds themselves in a desperate valley surrounded by enemies. In her blog, Michelle questions the existence of God, writing, "How could there be a God? When people have treated me so terribly, when people were so cruel to me and continue to be so, leading me to contemplate suicide, when my anxiety prevents me from doing basic day-to-day things, from going out with friends, from speaking in class and social gatherings, and leads me to cry myself to sleep and have mental breakdowns." She continues, "Why would an apparently loving father figure from above allow my aunt to kill herself and continue to let the ones I love die, continue to allow for natural disasters, genocides, war, racism, torture, bullying, illnesses, homophobia, and all the other terrible things that continue to happen as the world turns?" And on she goes, listing all the brokenness in the world. Well, it breaks your heart, doesn't it, to hear Michelle's writing. I know it certainly breaks my heart to hear Michelle's deep pain and doubt. And I have to admit, when I first read this blog post, it also made me feel like a failure as a pastor. For this is a young woman who I nurtured for 11 and a half years in the faith while I was at St. Andrew. She worshiped with us and attended Sunday school. I taught her confirmation classes, and I participated in countless youth activities with her. I encouraged her leadership abilities, and we even co-taught classes together. I wonder what more I could have done so that this young woman would believe deep in her soul that God is her shepherd, who loves and cares for her more than anything. And yet, on the other hand, if the truth be told, I have some of the same fears and doubts that Michelle expresses so poignantly. And I suspect most of you can say the same things. At times, I've been so aware of the injustices in the world or the pain in my own life that I've had a hard time believing in God or believing that God is truly good and loving. I'm like those scoffers in today's gospel passage, who couldn't believe that Jesus had given the man his sight, even when that man was right in front of them. Like those scoffers, there are times when miracles, big and small, happen all around me, but I don't see them, or I don't realize that God has had a hand in all of them. Well, there's some more that you need to know about Michelle. Her mom, Andrea, was the office receptionist when I first began working at St. Andrew Lutheran Church. And Andrea was one of those people who would just make your day with her big smile and the warm hug that she would give you when you walked through the office door. Diagnosed with breast cancer when Michelle was 9 years old. And even though Andrea fought that cancer aggressively, even though she gave it everything she had in order to survive for the sake of her two daughters, the cancer metastasized and it spread to her brain. And she died a very difficult death when Michelle was 14 years old. It was about the worst nightmare that a child can go through to witness the death of a parent. And no doubt this event explains some of Michelle's struggles. And yet after Andrea's death, I began to notice something. I noticed that Michelle and her sister were in church practically every Sunday, and they were there every Wednesday night when we had worship or youth activities. In fact, Michelle and her sister were the most faithful church attenders that I knew. And even though they had a supportive extended family and a loving father, I suspected that our church community gave Michelle and her sister a love and acceptance, a stability that they desperately needed in the face of their mother's death. In fact, when I retired, one of the things I told St. Andrew Church is that if the only thing that we had done during the time I was there was to provide love and support for Michelle and her sister, we would have done enough. The church was the love of God made flesh, the body of Christ for these two young women, and their faithfulness certainly touched our lives. From my vantage point, I could see how the works of God were being revealed in Michelle's life during this time, just like God's glory was revealed in the life of the man who was born blind as he received his sight and came to faith. But I need to stress here that I don't believe that God caused Andrea's death or the man's blindness so that God's glory could be revealed, even though this seems to be implied in our gospel reading for today. The reading says that he was born blind so that God's work might be revealed. But this is a bit of a bad translation because those words, he was born blind, aren't in the actual Greek text. They've been added. It's nearly enough here to say that God's glory was revealed in this blind man's life. God didn't cause that man's blindness so that Jesus could work a miracle. And certainly God didn't cause Andrea's cancer to make Michelle stronger so my congregation could have an opportunity to share God's love with her. But like Michelle, we are tempted to often see God as a cause of the world's brokenness. And yet there's another way to view the calamities of the world, and that is through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. God doesn't cause the world's brokenness. God redeems it. And Jesus' crucifixion means that Jesus knows what it's like to suffer, and Jesus is with us in our suffering. And the resurrection is God's promise that God can bring and will bring new life and light even to the most hopeless situation. The gospel promises that God will find us in our despair and will heal and restore us and bring us to new life. I do have to say, I very much admire Michelle's willingness to struggle with the hard questions about God and to share her struggles with others through her blog. Because part of faith, after all, is doubt. And part of maturing means wrestling with the very difficult questions of life. And yet my pastor's heart goes out to this young friend of mine. And my prayer for Michelle is that even in the midst of the brokenness of the world, that God will open her eyes to see how God cares for her like a good shepherd who leads us to green pastures and beside still waters. My hope for Michelle is that even when surrounded by doubts and struggles and other enemies, she can trust the promise that God prepares a table for her overflowing with God's love. And when Michelle can't trust those promises of God, I pray that she will always have a church like St. Andrew or like Grace Church here to hold those promises of God for her. And I give thanks that she does indeed have a supportive community now where she is at Pacific Lutheran. Well, ultimately, faith isn't about believing in certain propositions or certain religious doctrines. It's about a relationship. It's about trusting the promise of our baptism that God wants the same healing and restoration for us that God gave to that man who was born blind. But as Michelle and those scoffers in our gospel passage show us, it's not easy to believe in this promise. But the good news of the faith is that this trust isn't left up to us. It's a gift bestowed by the Holy Spirit. Our psalm ends by saying, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." Well, there's a bit of bad translation in that verse as well, because that word follow really should be translated as chases or pursues. God's goodness and mercy chases me as long as I live. So even if we aren't sure that we see God's mercy and goodness in our life, God will never stop pursuing us with God's mercy and God's goodness. Will Michelle trust God's promise? I don't know. But what I do know is that God will never stop pursuing her or any of us with God's goodness and mercy and grace. Amen.